Hold your head as high as you can, high enough to see who you are, little man. Life sometimes is cold and cruel, maybe no one else will tell you, so remember that you are black gold, black gold.
The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Kathy Bostrom from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Oprah Daily. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Oprah Daily. Six Women's History Month picture books that spark confidence and courage. With Tina Turner and Billie Jean King at bedtime, your kid will dream bigger and stand taller. By Charlie Burlock. March is Women's History Month, a time for us to honor the achievements and contributions of women to our society. If you're a parent, the holiday is an invitation to center story time on bold pioneers who will expand your children's horizons of what's possible, both in their own lives and in our collective future. The best children's books about remarkable women don't just stack accomplishments. They translate them into experiences a child recognizes, being told no, wanting to belong, messing up and trying again, realizing something is unfair, and deciding not to swallow it. The six picks below do exactly that. Whether your child is dreaming of center court, center stage, or outer space, the books on this list foretell a future that doesn't have a template yet. The best part? They're educational, but don't feel like homework. They're lively enough to captivate a wiggly listener and smart enough to satisfy an adult reading aloud. The real win is the after effect. Kids walk away curious, fired up, and ready to try. Just Like Tina by Ebony Lynn Mudd, illustrated by Maruga Coops. This story of a young superfan is a warm reminder that the true legacy of trailblazing women isn't a map for the next generation to follow, but the freedom to carve their own paths. Little Shay always saw herself on the big stage and wants to be just like Tina Turner. So when a Tina Turner tribute festival comes to town, Shay seizes her chance to put on the perfect performance. But as her grandmother reminds her, Tina's greatness was about more than her stage persona. Being just like Tina, Shay learns, means being unapologetically herself. As Tina Turner's widower, Erwin Bach, writes in the book's foreword, this book started as a heartfelt collaboration with the late superstar, who died in 2023. Every page reflects the essence of her heart and soul. Ellen Takes Flight by Doreen Rappaport, illustrated by Oliver Dominguez. While there are plenty of stories to inspire kids to follow their dreams, there are fewer offerings for kids who don't yet know what their dreams are. Enter this delightful story about Ellen Ochoa, the first Latina woman to go to space. Ellen had no idea what she wanted to be when she grew up. As a kid, she loved music as much as academics, and in college, she switched her major 5 times. As a young woman, she became a renowned optical physicist with 3 patents to her name by the age of 30, only to change tracks and set her sights on the literal stars, after NASA began accepting women and people of color into their astronaut program. Oh, and she also raised 2 sons, because of course she did. With ethereal illustrations and plenty of Ochoa's own candid words, Ellen Takes Flight makes her incredible achievements feel human and reachable. The biggest takeaway for readers of all ages: you can keep learning, keep pivoting, and still end up somewhere extraordinary. Your Crown Shines by Jessica Kerr Moore, illustrated by Dare Coulter. In 2022, Jessica Kerr Moore wrote a poem in celebration of Ketanji Brown Jackson's historic appointment to the Supreme Court. Words that Oprah later wrote spoke to my spirit. Luminously illustrated and adapted for young readers, Your Crown Shines will speak to your child's spirit too, allowing them to see themselves in Jackson's ferocious self-assurance. When a high school counselor tells the future justice, your sights are too high, little Katanji remains focused and unintimidated. In this telling, her uncharted path is illuminated by a constellation of fellow fearless dreamers, from Harriet Tubman to Serena Williams. Together, their crowns shine bright so our girls can speak. All this magic rooted deep. Your crown shines is two wonderful things. An ode to the exceptional persistence that carried Ketanji Brown Jackson to the Supreme Court, and a love letter to the everyday brilliance and limitless futures of black girls everywhere. Billie Jean by Mara Rockliffe, illustrated by Elizabeth Bradley. Kids are basically hardwired to spot unfairness and get fired up about it. And Billie Jean smartly uses that instinct to deliver a story that's both a bite-sized history lesson and a blueprint for change. We meet the equal pay crusader and game-changing athlete as a little girl who just wants to play. She dreams of being like Mickey Mantle, but pivots to tennis when she is told that girls can't play baseball, only to realize that she's still held to a different standard because of her gender. The book makes injustice maddeningly concrete, while showing young readers what to do with that anger. Name the problem, keep practicing anyway, and refuse to accept less as the rules of the game. The tone remains buoyant, with Billie Jean's cranky exclamation of peanut butter serving as the perfect child-friendly pressure valve, but the stakes are undeniable. By the time she takes on Bobby Riggs in the Battle of the Sexes, young readers will understand she's playing for every girl who's ever been told to move aside. Junko's Climb by Elisa Gavin, illustrated by Hifu Miyu. Junko's Climb is for any kid who has ever felt underestimated. The first woman to summit Everest, Japanese mountaineer Junko Tube starts out as the little girl everyone doubts. She's small, fragile, and often sickly, but still convinced that the world was hers to explore and discover. As she grows, she runs headlong into a world that doesn't want women on the mountain. So she forms the Ladies Climbing Club and assembles a team of women climbers to take on the tallest mountain on Earth. When the climb goes sideways, the team chooses Junko to press ahead without them and carry their shared effort to the top. We love how the telling of this historic first is built on teamwork, trust, and women lifting one another up, rendered in crisp, high-contrast illustrations that make the snow, wind, and vertigo feel bracingly real. Oprah Winfrey by Maria Isabel Sanchez Vergara, illustrated by Sarah Latterell. We couldn't compile this list without including our personal favorite champion of possibility. The new addition to the Little People, Big Dreams children's biography series tells Oprah's remarkable life story in a way that's both truthful and age-appropriate, underscoring that where you come from doesn't limit where you can go. Buoyed by playful illustrations, the tone stays bright and encouraging, yet it doesn't sugarcoat Oprah's early struggles, an exacting grandmother, a childhood that isn't always safe, and books and a kind teacher as a lifeline. The deeper lesson of this book is not about overcoming pain. It's about transforming it into purpose. The same girl who falls in love with reading grows into a woman who builds a book club that helps others find the same freedom in stories. The child who endured too much becomes the adult who discovers that sharing her truth can make her feel better and others feel less alone. The message hits home in a line that demands to be underlined. Little Oprah shows us that even when life is hard, we can plant seeds of courage and kindness that one day grow into something beautiful. And that was 6 Women's History Month picture books that spark confidence and courage by Charlie Burlock. Up next, 80% of women in midlife don't meet these criteria for good heart health. Do you? Heart disease is the leading killer of women in the U.S. This checklist could save your life. By Christina Mannion, RDN. You're likely all too familiar with the four horsemen of menopause: hot flashes, night sweats, mood swings, and brain fog. But as disruptive and frustrating as these symptoms are, they're superficial compared to how the change transforms your cardiovascular health. And not enough of us are in the know. With the decrease in estrogen, we start to see women's blood vessels getting thicker and stiffer, says Heather Hunt Swales, MD, a cardiologist at Hartford Healthcare. This can contribute to elevated blood pressure, a less favorable lipid profile, and an increase in abdominal fat, which can increase insulin resistance and lead to metabolic syndrome and diabetes. These physiological changes are a perfect storm for increased heart disease risk, says Maya Feller, RD, the founder of Maya Feller Nutrition and the author of Eating from Our Roots. And since cardiovascular disease, CVD, is the leading cause of death for women in the U.S., it's time for us all to wake up and take these changes seriously. Thankfully, there are many levers we can pull to push the odds more in our favor. This is the basis for Life's Essential 8, a set of recommended practices from the American Heart Association meant to optimize heart health and decrease your risk of disease. And research suggests it could reduce cardiovascular mortality in the U.S. by 40%, says Dr. Swales. Only 21% of midlife women are hitting these standards, so clearly most of us have room for improvement. But what are these essential practices, and how can you start them today? Spoiler, a lot of it you've probably already heard, and they all work together to keep you well. Read on for the lowdown from experts and start racking these up. Number one, tweak what you eat. It's no surprise that nutrition is critical for heart health. Heart healthy eating can help improve your blood pressure, blood cholesterol, blood sugar, and help you to maintain or lose weight, Dr. Swale says. On the flip side, excessive amounts of certain ingredients, like added sugars, saturated fats, and sodium, can contribute to metabolic dysfunction, says Feller. The official Life's Essential 8 guidelines emphasize eating whole grains, whole foods, fruits and vegetables, nuts, and lean animal proteins. If those aren't mainstays on your current plate, Feller suggests starting small. Identify one fruit and one vegetable that is accessible and culturally relevant to you, and figure out how to add them to your routine regularly, she says. Then you can build from there. Read up on heart-healthy eating plans like the Mediterranean diet, DASH diet, Nordic diet, and portfolio diet for more help planning meals and snacks. Number two, move your body every single day. Breaking news, physical activity is indeed good for your health. Intentional movement supports all parts of metabolic health, including insulin sensitivity and cholesterol transport, says Feller. This bodes well for staving off cardiovascular issues, while also positively impacting mood, sleep, and blood pressure levels. At least 150 minutes of moderate intensity aerobic exercise per week, plus 2 days of strength training, is the optimal amount for adults. But don't beat yourself up for not meeting that target. We know that even small amounts of exercise, especially in people who are currently sedentary, result in improved cardiovascular health, says Dr. Swales. A daily fart walk, a quickie leg workout, or a dip in the pool at the YMCA all count. The key is to find something enjoyable that you can do regularly, says Feller. Number three, don't smoke 'em if you got 'em. In 2022, the most recent year for which data is available, an estimated 18% of women over age 26 still used some kind of tobacco product, like cigarettes and vapes. If you do, it's time to put the habit in the past, alongside your parachute pants and frosted tips. Smoking is the leading cause of cancer, and it increases blood pressure and increases your risk of stroke, heart attack, and diabetes, says Dr. Swales. Any secondhand smoke is toxic for everyone in your household, too. taking this action pays off right away, as heart disease risk drops dramatically almost as soon as smoking stops. Talk to your healthcare provider about resources that you can use to help you quit, Dr. Swales suggests. You can also call 1-800-QUIT-NOW, a free helpline that will connect you with services in your area to help you quit. Number 4. Own your sleep routine. In the short term, a crappy night of sleep sets you up for a snoozy, grouchy day. Too many of those, too often, can worsen inflammation and metabolic health, says Feller. Sleep is the restorative part of the day. Insufficient and poor quality sleep are associated with increased heart disease and stroke, Dr. Swales adds. Your goal is to get 7 to 9 hours of sleep every night, and your nighttime routine is how you get there. Feller's non-negotiables: a cool, dark bedroom with no screens in sight, no late-night snacks, and no caffeine in the afternoon or evening if you're sensitive. It's also a good idea to go to bed and wake up at the same time every day, even on the weekend. If it feels like you've tried everything, Dr. Swale says it's time to get a referral to a sleep specialist. Number 5, lower your LDLs. Your body needs some cholesterol to make bile acids, build hormones, and transport lipids to other parts of your body. But having too much, particularly of the bad, low-density lipoprotein, LDL, kind, is a big determinant of overall heart disease and stroke risk. Some people are predisposed to high cholesterol because of family history, while others develop high cholesterol because of poor cholesterol clearance, excessive internal production of cholesterol, and or diet and lifestyle factors, shares Feller. You can lower the bad stuff by eating more fiber, whole foods, and lean proteins, Dr. Swale says. Exercise can help too. Feller recommends aiming for 25 grams of fiber every day, since the nutrient can bind to dietary cholesterol in the intestine during digestion, so less gets absorbed into your bloodstream. Get your fix from fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, and whole grains. Depending on your numbers and your genetics, your doctor might also recommend a statin or other cholesterol-lowering medication. Number 6, manage blood sugar. Blood sugar affects more than your diabetes risk. Excess sugar in the bloodstream can have a negative impact on vascular health, which in turn can have a negative impact on heart health, says Feller. This facet of health is extremely important for midlife women. Diabetes is a bigger risk factor for heart disease in women than in men, and is even more pronounced in menopausal women, says Dr. Swales. Aside from knowing your numbers, particularly your hemoglobin A1C, a marker of long-term blood sugar trends, there are plenty of ways to keep your sugars in check at home. Including sources of fiber and protein together at meals helps to keep blood sugar stable, says Feller. Examples: having a handful of nuts with carrots to get protein, heart healthy fat, and fiber. Taking a 10-minute walk after meals can help use up sugar in the bloodstream right away, she adds. Number 7, reduce the blood pressure. High blood pressure can damage your blood vessels over time, raising your risk of heart attack, stroke, and dementia. Managing it can protect you from those outcomes, says Feller. While 120 over 80 mmHg is the gold standard, any reduction from your current levels can help. Your Rx from the experts: cut back on sodium, eat more potassium-rich foods like bananas and sweet potatoes, manage stress, and work out regularly. Number 8, mind your weight. Feller doesn't think losing weight should be a primary focus for women aimed at reducing heart disease risk compared to the other essential 8 factors. But it's on the list because research shows that women who are living with overweight or obesity have a higher risk of developing cardiovascular disease. Talk with your healthcare provider or a registered dietitian to determine if weight loss is necessary for protecting your cardiovascular health. They can help you work out a sustainable strategy that meets your needs without resorting to crash diets or sketchy supplements. And that was 80% of women in midlife don't meet these criteria for good heart health. Do you? By Christina Mannion Ardian. Up next, How to Get Past Midlife Regret by Lisa Arbetter. When your past and future collide, the what-ifs can feel paralyzing. Ask yourself these questions to move forward. Lorraine, last name withheld, felt the future she'd always counted on beginning to slip away. I spent way too much time in my 30s counting on a toxic relationship to turn into something other than a toxic relationship, she says. Now I'm 40 with no kids, trying to figure out how to still make that dream of having a family happen. Regrets about things we didn't do, regrets of inaction, like Lorraine's, tend to linger longer than regrets about things we did, according to research. That can leave midlife crowded with what-ifs. Yet it is also the stretch of life when clarity and possibility coexist. We can finally see how our patterns shaped those earlier decisions, and more important, we still have time to change. Midlife is the hinge point between the first half and the second half of our lives. Who we were before and who we want to become presses in on us from both sides, writes Margie Lachman, PhD, a psychology professor, director of the Lifespan Lab at Brandeis University, and author of the forthcoming book, Primetime, A New Vision for Midlife. When your life no longer fits. Betsy Ames, 65, knows this inflection point well. She was living what she describes as a shallow existence, as a housewife in a Tony, New Jersey suburb. Very focused on what I sounded like, what I looked like, what I wore, she says. But I knew I was deeper than the way I was behaving. That dissonance followed her for years, through sobriety and through divorce, until in midlife, she hit a wall. I just couldn't do it anymore, she says. It felt meaningless. At 59, she earned a master's degree in social work and started over as a therapist. I found a foundation for a new life that was much deeper, much slower moving, and much less concerned with shiny objects, she says. Looking back, Ames realized she had been underestimating herself for decades. When she was a child, an adult told her she was stupid, and she believed it. I carried that with me until I graduated from Fordham in May 2020, she says. A new perspective. Today, Ames no longer sees her earlier choices as mistakes, so much as part of a longer arc. I think it took everything to get where I am now. The pain, the joy, the satisfaction, she says. That reframing is common in midlife. Regret doesn't disappear, it evolves. What once felt like failure can become part of the story that shaped you. Younger adults experience regret as almost entirely negative, says Laura L. Carstensen, PhD, a professor of public policy at Stanford University and founding director of the Stanford Center on Longevity. They feel bad, and that's it. But as people age, regret often turns into something good. There's a lesson to be learned in regret. But first, you have to acknowledge it and engage with it. Then you can make a conscious decision about what to do with it. Don't just sit there. Act or adapt. Eventually, regret asks something of you. Left unchecked, it can turn into rumination, replaying the same if-only thoughts without resolution, which research has linked to chronic stress, depression, and even physical health problems. But when people actively engage with regret, it often becomes clarifying. The question is, can this still be changed? Sometimes the answer is yes. People shift careers, leave relationships, reimagine family, take action where opportunity still exists. Other times, the answer is no. A door has closed. In those cases, growth comes from adapting, letting go of the outcome while finding new ways to meet the deeper need underneath it. Psychologists suggest asking yourself, what was I really trying to achieve? Often what looks like a single regret, the relationship that didn't work out, the career not pursued, is really about something deeper. Connection, purpose, autonomy, meaning. Lorraine is navigating that line now. What she wanted wasn't simply a relationship. It was the life she believed it would lead to. Partnership and motherhood together. Sitting with regret helped her separate the two. She's now exploring the possibility of becoming a mother on her own. She hasn't made her decision yet, but something has already shifted. Since I've stepped back from dating, I have literally been pouring all that love I was trying to pour into other people into myself. She says, and although I might be single right now, I really do have a different kind of love and respect for myself that I've never had before. That was How to Get Past Midlife Regret. When your past and future collide, the what-ifs can feel paralyzing. Ask yourself these questions to move forward. By Lisa Arbiter. And we'll end with a word of the week, Freudenfreude. This emotion is the opposite of Schadenfreude and feels so much nicer, by Cassie Hurwitz. Even if you've never said the word out loud before, you probably know the concept of Schadenfreude. It's the pleasure you get from someone else's misfortune, like when your cheating ex gets dumped, or your least favorite character on Traitors is eliminated. But there's also a term for the opposite emotion, Freudenfreude, or getting joy from someone else's success or happiness. And it might be the antidote to envy that we all need. Freudenfreude is mutually beneficial because it gives us a chance to experience vicarious joy and gives the other person an opportunity to relive their success, says Kathy Chambliss, a licensed therapist and professor of psychology at Ursinus College, who has been studying Freudenfreude for a decade. Think how wonderful it feels to watch your brother run a marathon or celebrate your daughter's new job. Their joy sparks yours, and your happiness for them boosts theirs. You can even experience Freudenfreude when someone achieves something that you might want for yourself. It's beneficial to practice Freudenfreude, Chambliss says. Her 2012 study found that it improves mood and relationship quality while also decreasing depressive symptoms. Remember, there isn't a finite amount of success or joy in the world. Just because one person is flying high doesn't mean you're down and out forever. And that was Word of the Week, Freudenfreude. We've run out of time for today's episode of Oprah Daily. I'm Kathy Bostrom, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Oprah is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening.